Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another Mike Force podcast. Just getting back from Los Angeles, California, doing a few things. I mean, for my show prepared on the Mike Glover actual channel, I wanted to see the ground truth from both the perspective of people who are living what is hell on earth on Skid Row, perspective from my friends who grew up in LA like Jack Osborne, and also get the law enforcement side and what they see. So I did a ride along with a Los Angeles police officer who's been a member of LAPD for nearly a decade and who has seen the stark decline in everything, in every aspect. So I think part of the podcast today, I want to talk to you guys about the decline of society and how what's happening across the country in these cities that nobody's managing. Skid Row, which is central LA, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, New York City. The list goes on that when policy directly affects society in this way, then you get a societal decline and a digression of us evolving as a species. A lot of people like to say, hey, you get what you vote for. That's their problem. And I don't agree with that. I very much grew up in a culture with my Korean family of being an American first. My mom used to tell me that. I'm like, I'm Asian American. No, you're an American first. And then you're half Korean. Be proud of that, but understand you're an American first, because they understood the principles and the values that were so important to freedom, to give them the liberty to live a really good life. And you know, that's obviously the American dream. You have a left and right limit, you have backstops, you have law and order. And when you get outside of that, you see what happens in these cities, but it's progressively gotten worse. And progressive is a great way to put it, because somehow this thought concept of this exercise and thinking of creating a utopia that everybody is going to be happy in, and neglecting enforcing laws, creating policy that affects human beings for the greater good, and in fact it destroys cities and it destroys people, that's a huge problem. What's up, buddy? Yeah, I know. No, baby. I'll fix it for you when I'm done, okay? Okay, go talk to Dee Dee and go get a Band-Aid, okay? Yeah, go tell Dee Dee to get you a Band-Aid. I love you. So, I'm not going to apologize. That's my life. So when we look at society as a whole, we neglect the fact that even if it's in our backyard, or even if we're disassociated, because I live in Pleasantville. I'm in Provo, Utah, which is 180 degrees, the complete opposite of my experience in Skid Row. But how long would it take via specific policies, political agendas, to create an environment that's unsafe for my children? You can't take your child out of your house in Los Angeles. In the first part of Prepared, I take a tour with Jack Osborne and we go over some places, including the Hollywood Strip, that used to be a tourist destination where, as a child, as an 11-year-old, he could ride his bike out in the public space. Now you do that and you'll potentially get kidnapped, murdered, at a minimum, violently assaulted. And this isn't a isolated problem. This isn't a Skid Row problem. This is an American problem. So we should have empathy for one another and be able to work through this. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people have gone to Skid Row. This is not new. But having the perspective of the LAPD talking to an officer who I had to conceal his identity because he doesn't want to get fired is different. Because when the police are saying the same thing that the civilians on the streets are, and we're continuing to vote for the same problem makers that are creating these policies that are affecting people, man, it's upside down world. So let me go over a few things. One, Skid Row is the most disgusting place I've ever been in my life. And I've been everywhere. Up until the trip to Skid Row, Yemen was one of the most disgusting places I'd ever been. Yemen is really drastically in decline, one, because of terrorism. I mean, that's a thing, but also because of khat. This tree leaf that they chew that acts like a methamphetamine, but also acts as a depressant. Everybody's chewing khat, but it's a different type of drug. So when you look at Skid Row, the reason it's worse is because fentanyl leaked in every type of drug, methamphetamines, cocaine, crack, crank, everything has a small dose of fentanyl because it makes it more addictive as a property, which keeps people hooked. Now, a study just came out that said free will doesn't exist. I mean, essentially, they proved that free will doesn't exist, which I think is a crock of shit. If you're going to sit here and tell me that as human beings, we don't have free will, and in America, you don't have a choice. As an individual and your responsibility, you don't have a mechanism in you to be able to make a sound and rational and logical and reasonable decision. And so you're a product of your environment, your circumstance. That article was completely based in victimhood, making excuses for people because of their skin color, their culture, their environment, their poverty. I don't buy that. I didn't grow up rich. I grew up very poor. I grew up in a mobile home in Daytona Beach, Florida. I mean, I grew up with my mom who didn't even have a vehicle until I was 16 years old. Like, I know what it's like to grow up in hardship, but I also know what it's like to grow up and make profound decisions for yourself, changing the trajectory that you're handed. So you could adjust fire, make that wind call, and change the future for yourself, your family, your community, for generations to come. So I don't buy into it. But here's what I buy into. When you create a perfect stage, a perfect recipe for destroying humanity, civilization, and you're creating all the parameters with little to no consequence, then you end up with Skid Row. And here's what I mean. Proposition 47. Prop 47 was, I'll read you verbatim what it says in the book, because I want to get this right as it was proposed legally. Proposition 47, also known by its ballot title, Criminal Sentences, Misdemeanor Penalties, Initiative Statute, was a referendum passed by voters in the state of California on November 4th, 2014. The measure was also referred to by its supporters as a Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act. How ironic that 10 years ago, when the population of homeless was 6,000 to 8,000 people total in Los Angeles, that now, 10 years later, we're looking at 80,000 plus people homeless. And when you look at Proposition 47, it was meant to reduce felony convictions for drug possession and low-level theft convictions to misdemeanors. This also created this zero bond status. You know, the whole supply chain is jacked up in California because when you have, I don't know, $186 million defunding the police in one area, where you have 24 different police stations, where the highest number of calls per the stations is about 75,000 calls in one little district, a couple miles, boxed by a couple miles. The district I was in was 65,000 calls. In fact, that day, they had 3,000 incidents in that one sector by 1 o'clock p.m. The clock resets every single day. And we're talking about an area in Los Angeles that, because of the density in population, because of Proposition 47, is allowing criminals to conduct acts of violence, rape, molestation, drug acts, and there's no penalty. So here's the double-edged sword. Here's the issue. Here's the dilemma. Here's the main issue LAPD is dealing with. Outside of the back door of the Central Station in Skid Row, you can go out the back door. As I showed on video, 5 feet from the back door, there's a gal smoking fentanyl in a crack pipe. She has a container of Narcan sitting next to her. Why is she there? I don't know. Likely because maybe an officer will save her life, and she knows that because she's likely to OD. So the idea was, if this gal was smoking crack, doing drugs, as a law enforcement officer, if I rolled her up and she got enough convictions, well, that number one, that interaction potentially would lead to more charges. And then she would go to jail. And when she went to jail, I think really this is the missing component. When she went to jail, she got off the streets. She got off the drugs and she got help. I mean, just think about that for a second. We take for granted that people who don't have the free will, as you brief it, I don't buy that shit, but let's just say she didn't have free will. She's a product of her environment. We're literally saying it's better in a utopian society to virtue signal and to create a consequence-free establishment where drugs you could use on your own and there's no penalty. So if I'm the LAPD officer and I come out the back door a decade ago before Proposition 47 was instilled, well, ma'am, what are you doing? Hey, put your hands behind your back. And she goes to jail. And you know what she does? There's a percentage. I'm not saying this is conclusive because I don't have the stats nor the case law to understand how this really works out. But bear with me. Come along on my philosophical journey. Well, she would get arrested and she'd go to jail. Depending on the charge, she would go to jail for an extended period of time. Even if she was on probation, she would have to follow certain parameters of being clean, or it would put her in jail and behind bars. And you know what she wasn't doing when she was in jail? I mean, technically, this still exists. 39 police officers in the Los Angeles County Jail alone this year. 39 inmates have been killed. So let's just set that aside. There was a chance for her. If she was on crack, she might have been a productive member of society because she was just grinding. She was on meth. She was just grinding. She was on speed. She was just grinding. But now with fentanyl, with these things that make these people zombies, she can't do anything. She can't even get off the stairs in the LAPD's Central Police Department. So now when the officer comes out, there's no incentive because if I come in contact with you, one, I don't want to touch you. You're covered in feces. I've never seen so much feces in my life. It was the most disgusting experience I've ever had in my life. There was a gentleman sitting next to us while we were interviewing one of the guys who was completely impaired and hallucinating. I was trying to get a cognitive understanding of what was going on. That was impossible. And the gentleman on the ground, he had his jeans ripped out of the back of his pants, so his ass was hanging out. And he was literally sharting on the side of the concrete and puking and picking up the carrots that he puked out of his cup of noodles and putting it back in the cup, yelling at people incoherently, paranoid, anxious. Then he kind of sobered up after a 10-minute conversation with this guy and got up and walked away. I said, hey, why is the back of his jeans torn out? Because he was the boyfriend of the guy I was talking to, and it was likely easy access. You see that on the streets. They have their own ecosystem. They have their own chain of command. They have an actual association where they vote on things, where they get permission for people to come in. And you know who's taking advantage of it? Drug dealers and pimps and the cartel, because they're actually cognitive. They're rational, or at least they're able to say coherent sentences to be able to get these zombies to do what they want for the drug. So now the LAPD has no incentive because they can't process them. If they process them, they go to jail on a zero bond. The officer I talked to, a zero bond, by the way, means they would go to jail, and because the jail system is so broken and fractured, they would say, hey, come back at a later time. And then likely the district attorney, because everybody's in everybody's subverting the process because they want to keep the numbers down, because if they reflect that there's not as many people behind bars, then they're doing a good thing. Even those same people are on the streets endangering other people's lives, including their own. So now with a zero bond, that person is only going to be a victim of likely perishing on the streets with no help. I talked to a lady who said, the people who are trying to help through programs are crooked and corrupt. Like she said, literally the housing unit where it was supposed to provide housing for people, she's prostituting people. She's taking advantage of people. She's selling products like toothbrushes under the table. The lady I talked to even admitted to stealing half the inventory of toothbrushes coming from nonprofits. I try to talk to a nonprofit on the street, and the nonprofit I talked to was so distrusting of the conversation of even talking about their position. And the LAPD officer that I was with said, they won't talk to you because basically they recruit and hire all felons. So the felons that are talking to you don't want to talk to you, and you're not able to work through it with them. You're not able to figure out what's going on to help them because they're just doing it as a position while they're collecting millions of dollars behind the scenes. So nothing's getting better on the streets. So the reason that's so important is because that means there's no incentive for law enforcement to do their job, to put people who really need to be behind bars because they're committing crimes and they're on drugs, which means you're going to commit more crimes because you get desperate. The sense of desperation on the streets of Skid Row was insane. I felt in fear for my life walking down the road. So did the law enforcement officer I was with, because people have been burned to death on Skid Row. It is a lawless place where you have a police department in proximity. LAPD right now has 12,000 officers. 12,000 officers is the standard operating procedure that you're supposed to have. They have 9,000. 12,000 is the standard. That's baseline. They have 9,000. I had another police officer contact me and said, of that 9,000, about 1,000 of those are injured. They've been injured on the job. The LAPD officer I went around town with had been recently assaulted, punched in the face. And he showed me the video camera of him, which they have cameras 24/7, by the way, in their cars, on them, outside of the vehicle, and they have a camera rigged on them 24/7. Full accountability. But they've been defunded $186 million. This officer went into a situation where a gentleman was at an establishment throwing stuff, cussing at people, calling people that were Hispanic racist names. And then he went to detain him, and the guy punched him in the face and assaulted him. Almost broke his nose. The guy never got charged with one single thing. Because it used to be a felony to punch an officer in the face. Now, the radical district attorneys, the state attorney's office, and all the politics involved have made it basically a crime spreed area where you get away with everything and there's no consequence, period. Even assaulting an officer, there's no consequence. So he said that he put a charge in and the charge got dropped. So now 1,000 officers, a lack of officers on the street where you normally during a shift would have 24 officers, you now have 16. Now the response time is being effective. Where a level 3 call, which is respond immediately, would take 2 minutes in an area where you have two people per car, you have 10 cars on the street, 12 cars on the street. Now you have 6 cars on the street, 8 cars on the street, and the response time has extended. So if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're level 3 because you're getting mugged, beat, robbed, you have to wait 5 to 7 minutes. By then, it's already too late. If you're looking at a level 2 call that would take 8 to 10 minutes to respond, that's like somebody's banging on the window, I don't know what's going on, and it's the potential, it's an imminent threat, not an immediate threat, it's about to go bad, now it's extended to potentially 20 minutes. And a code 3, level 3, where it's like, hey, I just got burglarized. I just got robbed. Somebody just carjacked me. Good luck with that. Because he said it could be potentially hours because they're handling the level threes and twos. And now because they're short staffed, they don't have time to deal with it. And everybody I talked to, including civilians who live there, have said, I've called the police and nobody has shown up, period. It's not like nobody's coming to save you or you are your own first response. It's like you might never get response, period, if you're a law-abiding citizen. So you look at the conundrum. You look at all the issues that Skid Row is facing, and it's like, how did we get here? Well, let me dive into something that was very sensitive as I was talking to both Jack Osborne and an LAPD officer, multiple officers, about it. This LAPD officer told me that during the election cycle, there were people harvesting ballots for the running of the mayor. He saw that they were harvesting ballots and was told by his supervisor, we can't do anything about it. Now, what does that mean? What means that they were intentionally, maliciously trying to alter the election outcome. I don't know why this is like so crazy to talk about, why I likely will be suppressed, demonetized, maybe even canceled because I'm saying this out loud. Like in these backyards where the politicians are running wineries, doing million-dollar deals, traveling abroad, the cities, the towns, the counties, and the states they run are going to hell in a handbasket. And I literally heard verbatim from a man of integrity whose wife is African-American, who's a minority, that this took place. They were harvesting ballots. He reported it, and he said, we should do something about it. And a supervisor said, we can't do anything about it. It's above your pay grade. Let's not get involved. It's too political. What? In fact, he also told me that his ballots were not being counted. He literally put it in, and you could check the ballots, and it wasn't getting processed because they said, your signature is different. It was getting kicked back. Or you didn't fill in the bubble completely and it got kicked back. So when you look at the idea or the talking point that systems are rigged, they potentially are. And so how do you get ahead? You potentially can't. Because if you fight for the right, you stand up and say, I will be governor of California. I've out of all the political positions, I would run for governor of California. I started my Philcraft Survival in California. I was born in Fort Ord, California, which is Monterey. And I understand the complexities of the problem, and I train and work there a lot. But I would never win. You know why I would never win? Because the system is completely rigged. And who's winning are the elite. And it's sad to say that the politicians are part of the elite. Not the Fortune 500 CEOs, but the politicians who have completely destroyed what California is, what New York is, what Chicago is, all these places. This is what's taking place. It's a rigged system where people are set up to fail. And failure doesn't just mean not making it by being successful. It means you potentially are set up for failure where you'll die on the streets of Los Angeles, of Baltimore, of Philadelphia. And that's sad, man. As an Americans, we should stand up for that. Obviously, the question is, like, how do we do that? Well, we have to be outraged. We have to know the truth first and foremost. And when I put out the truth, it's sad to see people commenting in my comment section, like, who cares? Or, we already know that, but who cares? Like, well, one, then don't watch my shit. Like, I don't want you watching my shit. And to be honest, like, go fuck yourself. I'm sorry to say it that bluntly, but I don't care about you. You're on my shit. You're sitting in my living room watching my stuff. Get out of my living room. Get out of my space. Go watch somebody else. Like, go jerk your own echo chamber. I don't care. Because what I want to do is influence people to show that this thing is getting worse. And yeah, you might live in utopia in your rural conservative area now. But I promise this potentially could happen to you really quick. Because if the system's rigged, you have no say-so. Your vote doesn't actually count. So if you're not getting involved, if you're not getting outraged, if you're not protesting, if you're not saying what is going on, there is specifically a reason why is not protesting. I had some idiot comment like, that's not their mission statement. Their mission statement isn't empowering, protecting, and serving the African American community. That's ironic, because I thought the whole entire movement was matter. I guess they don't matter when it's inner city black on black crime. I guess it doesn't matter when the majority of the people dying on the streets of Skid Row in San Jose, in San Francisco, are literally African American. That doesn't matter. It breaks my heart when I see anybody, any American, but the fact that African Americans overwhelmingly are in the prison system, are growing up without fathers, are disproportionately being killed, are on the streets dying literally on Skid Row. That matter doesn't care about that? Again, like, why would we not talk about that? Why would they not be protesting? Because I actually think if matter was rallying people and protesting that, it would change. White liberals would be like, oh, we got to do something about this. It's like, yeah, it's time to step up. But they're not. And you wonder why. If you're getting paid millions of dollars by white people who are feeling guilty about it and maybe they want to do something about it, and you're taking that and spending it and blowing it on real estate and fancy cars and, you know, writing off everything to take care of yourself, going to the club, then you're not helping the people. So, yeah, I get it. If it's a corrupt and broken system, then you can't do anything about it. But what can you do about it if you're a Los Angeles resident and you actually care about your backyard? You could run for mayor. You could run for sheriff. You could run for city council. You can get involved. You can advocate. I mean, if my backyard was falling apart, I would be pushing people to do the same, and I would be stepping up the same. Like, I would love to get involved in California politics, but I'm not a California native. I mean, I don't have a residence there. But it breaks my heart because I know this is happening all over the country, and it's only getting worse, guys. The first part, I talk with Jack Osborne. We drive around, and we talk about his upbringing and how things have shifted, how things have changed. The statistics of 75,000 to 80,000 homeless exist in Los Angeles alone. Guys, 75,000 to 80,000 people? There was an RV park we passed, and this RV park was full of brand new RVs, beautiful RVs, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 RVs, and it was empty. I said, why is it empty? Well, the program was started to house people, and it's because when you're homeless, you think housing is the issue, but it's not. When you're so high on fentanyl, on a drug, that laying in your own feces does it feel wrong, then there's an overwhelming problem. But it makes sense to why a homeless person who can't have drugs, can't have alcohol to live in the thing, doesn't want the sovereignty of safety and security. They don't want that. They want to be cracked out on the streets because that feels like their utopia. It's why they spend years of their lives on the streets. So housing isn't the issue. It's not a homeless problem. It is a mental health and drug problem. I just watched one of my favorite influencers on YouTube. I forget his name, but he did a Vancouver episode. And Vancouver legalized all drugs. And I hate seeing men that I respect, like Graham Hancock. I listened to Graham Hancock on Joe Rogan's podcast recently, and he said, we should legalize all drugs. And I think Graham Hancock is from overseas. I think he might be from England. I'm sorry if I'm hacking that. I thought he was from the UK. But he said, as Americans and liberty and freedom, we should do that. I don't agree. If you're buying into the idea of free will, which I certainly do, you have choices. Your choices are greatly affected when you're mentally altered. Addiction is a real problem. I don't have an addictive personality. I never have. I like socially drinking. I like occasionally taking CBD and CBN. I mean, I technically take Wolf 21 every night, but like the 5 milligrams of THC, I don't need it every night. I'm not addicted. But most people do have addictive personalities. These people have lost everything, their homes, their families, their friends, and they have a mom and dad too. Like they were raised as babies by somebody. Somebody loved them at some point. These are Americans, man. We got to be policing these people up. If you can't do it as a government, because the government has failed. Let's just get that out of the way. The government has failed. Is there an expectation? You know, the expectation, this whole definition of crazy, like you have an expectation that it's going to somehow change? That's crazy. The government is failed. They're a failed system. We know that. They're a broken system. But who cares? Does the federal government control your everyday, day-to-day life? No, they don't. So it's up to you to get up every single day, make choices with your free will, and do something about it. Like, do something to help somebody, which is why I do this content. I want people to understand that, like, being prepared doesn't have to do with all of your individual skill sets. That's a very selfish way to look at it. Being prepared is like preparing myself to protect my family, to be selfless. Preparing my family to help other people as a responsible citizen. Preparing my community so that this country can be better squared away. And you don't need the government for that. But the first step in preparedness is policing up your environment. And yeah, it feels good to be in Calabasas where nothing sucks. It's really amazing. It's like utopia because they're actually enforcing laws. They got a good sheriff. They got a good mayor. You drive down the road and you're in Skid Row. It sucks to be them, but nobody cares anymore. I was actually shocked to run around with LAPD and see how run down everything is. You think LAPD, like NYU, that does international stuff, from the origins of law enforcement and SWAT in our country, they're the OGs. And you see them and you're like, dude, this place is run down. These are your patrol cars. They got tethered, like everything's tattered. Like tires are low on air pressure. You got ripped up seats. It stinks. The car barely runs. Like your duty uniforms are crap. It's like, holy crap. And they're grinding 24/7 with no help. It's like being in a war zone. No wonder these men and women have PTSD, have a high suicide rate. Dude, they're at war. At the luxury and expense of politicians that are ruining our country. It's time to step up, guys. We got to step up as a nation. Guys, I'm going to do the next prepared. I'm going to migrate into preparing for World War III on the tangible side of preparedness. We talk about it in the book Prepared. We talk about it in the last segment where we talk about EDC, mobility, and homestead, the things that you can touch. On the topic of EDC, big shout out to Montana Knife Company. This is the Fieldcraft collab knife made with Montana Knife and Fieldcraft Survival using the experts, including Josh Smith, Kevin Estella. We put this together because we wanted to have the best knife collaborated with EDC principles for security, the bladesmith, the beauty of being USA made, which is marked on this knife. And we got a collab coming. That collab is November 30th. Mark your calendars. Also, if you use MF10, Mike Force 10, MF10, you can save 10% on stocks they now have, or knives they now have in stock, like the Speed Goat. Appreciate you, Josh Smith. We don't just have supporters and advertising. We have partners and friends. Guys, we had a lot going on when it comes to Fieldcraft. I've expanded some classes that we normally don't do because I think we're going to be in a fight. I think we potentially will go to war with Iran. We're already in a war with Iran. Let's get past that. Like, proxy war is a war with a country. When we were fighting Mahdi militia in Sadr City, getting guys killed, we were in direct combat with Iranian-backed, even Iranian fighters. Now with Hezbollah, Hamas, all the attacks coming from the Houthis from Yemen, we are in a war, and we're this close from kicking it off. I want to prepare guys and gals who are going to serve and civilians who want to be more resilient. So we brought back our soft prep course December 2nd and 3rd. Make sure you check out fieldcraftsurvival.com for all courses. Also, if you're local to the area in Provo, Utah, jiu-jitsu, performance and recovery group. We do all these things in our own backyard because we're providing that support to you, and we want to make you more resilient as a community. Every Wednesday, Responsible Citizen for free. Today, I'm going to be doing Friday Afternoon Club, and I'm doing a prepared class this afternoon. Guys, we're in this to make you better prepared. We're not the end-all, be-all solution to everything, but we're here for your needs. Make sure you check out the app at Fieldcraft Survival, wherever apps are found. I appreciate you guys. Till next time, stay alert, stay alive. Peace out, guys.